Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hi, my name is Robert Lamb, and this is The Monster Fact, a short-form series from Stuff to Blow Your Mind focusing on mythical creatures, ideas, and monsters in time. In a rare case of synchronicity with the news cycle, which is all about brain worms of late, I decided to devote this Trek-themed episode to the dreaded SETI eels of SETI Alpha 5. You will, of course, remember them from the 1982 film Star Trek II: The Wrath of Khan, in which thawed 20th century eugenics war tyrant Khan Noonan Singh, played by the superb Ricardo Montalban, uses larval SETI eels to torture and control two Enterprise crew members in his quest for vengeance. We also learn that SETI eels, native to the harsh world Singh was exiled to by Starfleet, killed many of Khan's people, including his wife. The SETI worm is a burrowing desert creature, but its larvae, we're told by Singh, crawl in through the ear canals of host creatures to wrap themselves around the cerebral cortex, rendering the host organism highly susceptible to suggestion. Madness and death follow as the eel grows, unless the eel is removed or leaves of its own accord. The latter occurs with First Officer Chekhov, though the reason is uncertain. Was it responding to danger? Had it lost control of its host? Was it in fact leaving the host in order to continue its life cycle? We don't know any of these answers, in part because Captain Kirk instantly vaporizes the escaping eel. Turning once more to the non-canonical Star Trek, The Worlds of the Federation, written and illustrated by Laura Johnson, written as Shane Johnson, back in 1989, the author largely shares what we already know from the movie. Adult SETI eels, one of the few native species to survive on the planet, grow to lengths of 14 inches and carry their young in tissue or armor folds on their backs, until such time as they leave the parent for a host organism. In Life Signs, The Biology of Star Trek, Susan and Robert Jenkins briefly discuss the SETI eel in context with other neural parasites and symbionts of the Trek universe, and there are several, classifying the possession we see with the SETI eel as a kind of, quote, co-conscious mind control, with the hosts made helpless by the superseding power of the parasite. Presumably, the whole reason for subduing the host organism is to keep it from interfering with the larva's occupation of said organism. And we might assume that the SETI eel also eats the tissue that it presumably burrows through to reach the cerebral cortex. The mind control aspect of this fictional parasitic scenario is, of course, very in keeping with numerous examples from the natural terrestrial world, including various parasitoid wasps, flatworms, hairworms, protozoans, fungi, and more. In broad strokes, we see parasites that alter host behavior to help complete their own life cycle. This may mean mere survival or positioning of the host in such a way that a desirable new host will consume the current host. Now, with the SETI eel, we certainly see the former, survival, but not so much the latter. Eel-controlled humans don't seem to do anything other than obey fellow humans, though one could make a case that this alone might lead to, say, an infected human being either being expelled, which would be at least be a choice, and you can imagine scenarios in which this would put the current host organism in a position to, say, be near water or near another organism that it needs to enter, perhaps some sort of a predator. You could also make the argument that, well, okay, a human that is so easily controlled by fellow humans is going to remain in close proximity with humans, and perhaps it just needs to enter a new host organism once it's done munching and constricting inside that individual skull. Either way, we also have to acknowledge that humanoids, and remember, in the Trek universe, most or all humanoid species are very distantly related to each other. Humanoids might not be the desired vector for the parasite. And in the world of actual terrestrial parasite studies, we do see dangerous results from parasites winding up either in the wrong host or the wrong part of the right host. Now, I've long found this one of the more horrifying aspects of sci-fi space horror, and particularly sci-fi space-related body horror. Human interactions with hostile biology that simply didn't evolve to deal with human beings. The xenomorphic threats of the Alien film franchise are great examples of this, of course. On one hand, the creatures we see in the films are highly adaptive and make use of host DNA in the acquisition of their adult forms. They have evolved and/or been engineered to make quick study and use of new bodies. But the other horrifying way to think about it is that here is a creature that is truly an alien within the host body. It doesn't know what it's doing in there. And much like the scene in 2012's Prometheus with the robotic surgery pod, this combination of high skill and lower context for the target body runs the risk of heading into very grisly territory. Still, we don't have to invoke Alien to make the Seti eel terrifying. The implantation scene in Wrath of Khan remains one of the greatest moments of space horror in a franchise we don't generally associate with it. Tune in for additional episodes of The Monster Fact, The Artifact, or Animalia Stupendium each week. I'm going to try and press on with at least one more Trek selection, so please send in your recommendations. As always, you can email us at contact@stufftoblowyourmind.com.
Stuff to Blow Your Mind is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.